Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Wednesday. We're going to be previewing the Cincinnati Bengals as we continue this week in the AFC North. And the Bengals are under new head coach Zach Taylor. There's a slogan, New Day, D-E-Y, to sort of promote the turnover, a new voice that is going to be hitting Cincinnati. Andy Dalton is under a lot of pressure, only a couple of years left on his contract. The Bengals are a team that still has some solid defensive players. Avantez Perfect, even though his production had declined a little bit, is still going to be a kind of a void that they need to fill. But it's still a team that at times can really be a threat. I mean, they don't really show it sometimes, but still have skilled positions. I mean, AJ Green, we were talking about him about, you know, getting hurt on the field in Dayton when they were, you know, practicing on a field that was in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the NFL. He has not been healthy. He gets hurt, doesn't play a full season and whatnot. But I look at new coaches, right? New voices, fresh voices. And sometimes they're dangerous. Now, sometimes you think that a coach in his first time coaching, right, it takes a while to sort of get into the rhythm of it. But sometimes they come out of the gate and they have success and whatever they're saying is working. And it really was a fresh voice. And that, you know, it makes you wonder sometimes about this league more so than any other sport in the NFL. Look, it would be surprising if Arizona won the Super Bowl, right? It would be surprising if Buffalo won the Super Bowl. But if they were to surprise us and do that, make a run at a championship, we would be very familiar, no matter where you live, if you're an NFL fan, we would be very familiar with how they did it. We would be very familiar as to what was working. We would all be very familiar as to how they put that plan together and made it all come together in this Super Bowl run. It still would be surprising. Don't get me wrong. It still would be surprising. But we are closer nationally to everything that goes on in the NFL than any other sport in the country. If you live in Boston, you don't really pay attention to the Angels. If you live in New York, you're not really paying attention to the Giants in San Francisco. Same thing in the NBA. You maybe love the Celtics, but have no idea what draft move or roster move the Sacramento Kings are making in the middle of the night. But the NFL, we have a very good taste of what's going on.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So I was saying, look, what I love so much about the NFL, I love that we as fans, and if you're a diehard fan of whatever team, You go into these seasons and you kind of have an idea of what your expectation is. And we all have like personal goals with our teams in terms of, well, I'd like to show improvement. I'd like to go 9-7, or I'd like to make a push towards the playoffs, or I'd like to have a winning record, or maybe I just want to be last in the NFL and get the first round draft pick. But we all can be really, kind of realistic with the teams. Not a lot of teams going into the season where it is Super Bowl or bust, right? Where it's Super Bowl or nothing. Some of us struggled last year. Some of us had teams that didn't make the playoffs. Some of us had teams that made the playoffs and fell short of getting to the Super Bowl, where Super Bowl is the only thing. But as I was saying earlier, the one other thing, and I think fantasy sports has a lot to do with this. I think fantasy football has been so great for this league in terms of bringing us closer as fans, where it's, you look at baseball, for example, and it's so regional, where you care about your team and you care about some teams in your division, but you don't look at baseball nationally like you do the NFL. Like you don't look at it across. Like if you're a Red Sox fan, are you paying deep attention to what the San Francisco Giants are doing or the Colorado Rockies are doing in the NL West? Right? No, you tend to be more localized. I'm a Red Sox fan, or I'm a Yankee fan, or I'm a Rays fan, and I'm paying attention to my division. Maybe I'm paying attention to the American League a little bit, but I'm mostly paying attention to my division. And in the NFL, it's different. that a player's transaction in Green Bay does have people in Jacksonville curious, whether it's for fantasy sakes or just the overall league, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're drawn more nationally in the NFL than any other sport. And that's what makes these previews that we do, where you may not be a Bengals fan today, but there is something about the way Cincinnati is going to be structured and how they're going to look and how they may be a threat that does affect the AFC, for example. Maybe they'll have a year where Zach Taylor turns everything around and all of a sudden the Bengals are pushing towards a wild card, if not winning the division. And that does affect everyone in the AFC, and it's just, and I, like I said, I think fantasy sports has a lot to do with this too, is that you're so familiar with names and faces and way guys play because fantasy sports allows you to encompass the whole league. I remember playing fantasy sports, fantasy football when I was in college, and it was so hard because it wasn't computerized and there was no internet. So everything was done by hand. But I remember thinking, as I've thought about this a lot, how did I know so much about the players around the NFL without the tools that I have today? I mean, my God, you know how many sites you can go on to find the overall effectiveness of every player in the league based on certain statistical criteria? It's incredible. I mean, Pro Football Focus is a site. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them out there that will take guys and grade them on all sorts of different statistical categories. We didn't really have access to that kind of thing. We always, we were kind of more on hunches, right? We saw highlights. We saw games. We watched a lot of Sports Center. We watched a lot of NFL shows, read the magazines, just digested as much information as we possibly could. And then we would make our, thoughts on who we thought would be the best team. But today, it's even more deep. You can go even more deep around the league. Where I have a friend of mine here in Tennessee who's an Arizona Cardinals fan. And it's great because I don't know any Arizona Cardinals fans. I didn't know any Arizona Cardinals fans when I lived in Colorado and it was the next state up.
Yeah, I didn't really know Arizona Cardinals fans when, right? I lived in Arizona.
Right. And it's awesome to hear him talk about his team because I don't follow the Arizona Cardinals all that much. But I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's talking about when he says, well, we lost this guy, we lost that guy. I'm really excited about this, or I'm really excited about this guy. Now, I will be honest with you, even though I do this for a living, let's reverse that. Let's make it that he's talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't have any idea what he was talking about. If he started talking about, well, we got this kid, he's coming up from the minors, we think he could play outfield, and of course our 2, 3, and 4 hitters, I would be like, I would take your word for it. Because baseball is so localized, but the NFL, I'm almost as familiar as Arizona as he is, even though he's a fan and he reads up, everything. But I have an interest in knowing as much about the Arizona Cardinals as much as he does. It's just one of those things that happens. And that's why I think this league really shines, is that everything about this league, all the news that comes out of the league can be really relevant to in some way, shape, or form, almost like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon type of thing, right? Steelers may be signing this player and somewhere down the line and not very far, it affects the New York Giants. And it's just the way it goes. But the other thing about it is again, talking to smart NFL fans, like if you're a Patriots fan, right, nothing less than the Super Bowl, you'll be disappointed. You're not saying, well, I just hope we get to the AFC title game and let's see what happens. You have a team that can win the Super Bowl again. So you should want Ron Chargers, same thing. You have a team that should win the Super Bowl. The Steelers, I got a team that could win the Super Bowl, but I'm like, can you just make the playoffs? Because last year you didn't make the playoffs. But if you're a Giants fan, I talk to my father about this all the time. He's a Giants fan. You don't want to be 8-8, but you also, if you're close to 8-8, well, then you could be 10-6, right? If you're getting close to 500, you could be just enough to get into the playoffs. And I've always said, I hate it when fans tell me in the NFL, well, I don't want to make the playoffs because we'd lose in the first round anyway. Get to the playoffs. You got to be kidding me. They don't call it any, it's not any given Sunday because it's just a fun thing to say. You've seen time and time and time again, teams that barely get into the postseason and they turn it on and they make a little bit of a run and they upset a team or two. Yes, it's hard to do. It's hard that you win a wild card game and then you got to play a game on the road against a team that had the week off before. Yes, it's not easy. But stranger things, always root to make the playoffs, even if you think you have zero chance of going anywhere with that team. Always get to the postseason. Always. I always feel like that's such a deflatist way to look at things, right? When you say, oh, I don't even want to make the playoffs anyway. Well, what's the alternative? The alternative is if you don't want your team to make the playoffs that could make the playoffs, then you're asking for a middle-of-the-road draft pick with nothing really awesome on draft day. Yeah, maybe somebody cool will fall to you, but...
You become a forgettable team.
That's right.
Exactly.
Listen, I can't tell you how many lean years I had to put up with the Steelers there were times in the 80s where the Steelers were terrible and then they'd make the playoffs and they'd be terrible for a while, then they'd make the playoffs. But there were some lean years, like the late 90s were not very good before they started, turning the corner. But I never wanted them to not make the postseason. That's silly. I always said get to, and in 1989, was a year. I kid you not. I had a list of all their games and I would handwrite the score. And I'll never forget the first two games. They lost like 51-3 and like 48-7. And it was miserable. And the Browns were really good. They had Bernie Kosar and they were really good. And the Houston Oilers were really good. And it was like, oh, this stinks. And the Bengals were pretty good. And I'm like, this is awful. This is awful. And I remember at the end of the season, right? At the end of the season, the Steelers had one of those scenarios where they needed all of these things to happen for them to make the playoffs, right? I mean, it almost seemed like it was impossible. And one of the games that they needed was they needed the Raiders, at the time they were the LA Raiders, they needed the Raiders to lose at the Giants on Christmas Eve. And I happened to be at that game. It was the coldest game I've ever attended in my entire life. I mean, painful cold, like really, like hits you like a ton of bricks cold. But this, they needed all these things to work out. And I never forget, it was Christmas Day. It was a Monday night. They needed like the Bengals to lose, and they did, and they made it into the playoffs. But they had the first round game, a wild card game. They had to go to Houston and face the Oilers. And they won. They won a road game against a very good Oilers team. And then the next week, they had to go play Denver. And they played with the Broncos in that game all the way to the end. And Bubby Brister in the old Mile High Stadium had the ball. The Steelers were driving, and he couldn't hear. He was in the shotgun, and he couldn't hear. And it was so loud, and he fumbled the ball, and the Broncos recovered, and they went on to win the game. But I always point to that year as, that's a year I could have given up as a fan. That's a year I could have said, this team's not very good. It wins games, but it barely wins games. It's just... if they got to the playoffs, they'd just get slaughtered. But that was one of the more memorable years as a Steelers fan because they needed so much at the end of the year. Then they got in and they made the most of it. They made the most with their talent. They made the most of it. I mean, I'm assuming, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the Chargers of 1994 was the year they went to the Super Bowl, right? That was a team that, all right, you lost the Super Bowl, got beat by the 49ers, but... beating a juggernaut Steeler team in Three Rivers, and if I'm not mistaken, a couple of other road wins in the playoffs that year, too. Team with Stan Humphries as quarterback and Natron Means.
They had no business being there.
Right.
They beat
the crap out of Pittsburgh defensively.
I think it was good that they made the playoffs. A playoff win would have been, a winning season. They had no business in the Super Bowl. None whatsoever.
I think Junior Seau had 500 tackles in that game against the Steelers.
501, Tony. It's
because
in the record
books.
Because
he was everywhere. I mean, you watch the highlights of that game. He's everywhere, knocking the crap out of Neil O'Donnell or knocking the crap out of whoever has the ball. It was just one of those great efforts that teams have. And I think we all have those where some of our more rewarding years, yeah, they're championships. If your team has been fortunate enough to win a Super Bowl, yeah, that's obviously, you know, one of the high points. But I think we all have those years where the team stinks. You know the team stinks, but somehow it clicks. Somehow it works. Somehow something's better. It's just the team is improving and they're pretty good. And then they get into the playoffs and magic happens. I mean, the Giants winning three straight road games and then everybody thinking the Patriots are going to clobber them. And they end up winning a very, very tight game. And Plaxico Burress catches a touchdown with a, you know, less than a minute remaining or whatever it was to give them a win. And they hold off the Patriots bomb to, you know, to Randy Moss, potential Randy Moss. Those are the kind of, I think those are rewarding, right? I mean, those are just, that's what this league can do sometimes. All right, again, at Tony D Radio, we're going to be previewing the Cincinnati Bengals today. It's kind of a weird team to preview because they're not a good team and they're going through this transition. But my God, you look at some of the players that they have and you're like, could they be a sleeper good football team if everybody's healthy and there is kind of a new way of doing business with Cincinnati? And they got some talent. I mean, there's some talented players on that team. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge if your battery does need to be replaced. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact SuperStart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Ron, do you remember the story a while back we talked about the LSU locker room?
Yes.
Beautiful
looks. Pods and everything you could absolutely hope for.
I was reading, because we're getting closer to college football season, and I'm digesting as much about South Carolina as I can because, you know, I'm trying to see how, you know, could they make a bowl game this year? They got a really tough schedule. So I'm reading a lot of the analysis. And I go to The Athletic, and they have this whole article about previewing South Carolina and all right, here's their quarterback, here's their defensive units, and what went wrong last year, what went right last year. Part of the article is this statement by Will Muschamp that talks about now he feels South Carolina can be winners because they just opened up a $50 million football facility. Now, I kid you not. South Carolina has
$50 million
facility. Okay. Yeah, so
we can't pay players.
Yeah. Right. I know. Right. So Muschamp is looking at like all of it, right? From recruiting to player comfort to this is, hey, this is one of the reasons that we haven't been successful is all these other schools are doing this and we finally are on the same page and doing this. I am so bothered by this in a weird way that I don't know where this is heading in terms of where college football is going. This one upsmanship on facilities and player accommodations. This is just going to escalate to a point of insanity, right? I mean, there's so much money in these programs, in these football programs, that I love the LSU locker rooms, and I'm fine with spending money any way you want. But for the last 25 years that I've been paying attention to Carolina football, I'm sorry, I could pinpoint it to the fact that we don't have swank enough facilities during training, that's the reason why they haven't played in a BCS bowl game or won an SEC championship. Like, that's the reason? Because all these other schools are putting together these big, huge, elaborate facilities, and now South Carolina's had to ante up the money to build this complex? Like, it's not recruiting, it's not coaching, it's not local kids wanting to go to school there. It's that when they go there, they see this, and then when they go to some other school, and they go, oh my God, there's a juice bar next to a spa, next to a pool table, next to a video game room, next to a nap pod, why am I thinking about going to silly old South Carolina? And pencil South Carolina in for any other school that can't keep up financially with other teams in their conference for these kind of facilities. I mean, this article starts off with, I mean, listen, it gets to the nuts and bolts of here's Jake Bentley. Here's how are they going to replace Deebo Samuel? What happened last year with all the turnovers, right? Everything you want to know from a football perspective. But it starts off talking about here is a pool table next in the game room. It's near an air hockey table next to a music studio named after Darius Rucker. And there's a cafeteria and here's another entertainment room and there's a small movie theater for the players to enjoy. And I mean, it's over and over again talking about just the accommodations for these student athletes at these schools, and now South Carolina can consider themselves on the right track to winning. To winning. This is a school that couldn't win an SEC championship with Lou Holtz as head coach and couldn't win an SEC championship with Steve Spurrier as head coach, although they did go to an SEC championship game, and Cam Newton was playing for the Auburn Tigers. So there's an excuse as to why we lost, because everyone was losing to Cam Newton and the Auburn Tigers. So I'm not upset that they lost that game. They actually got throttled in that game. But nevertheless, it's just, I don't know, there's just something, maybe I'm get off my lawn guy, and I'm willing to admit that, if that's the case. But there is something that is troubling to me when the pyramid of success comes at the top of, well, we now have enough entertainment and relaxation facilities around for these student athletes that now we can be competitive. I mean, that's, I don't know, man. It's just something about that. But like I said, I don't begrudge these schools for spending money on this. And I think, and I kind of, you know, lambasted the critics who thought they shouldn't and put the money into other things. And my point has always been, look, if you're using private funds, if you're using money you generate, do whatever you've got to do. In this day and age, if this is what it takes, what it takes. But man, oh man. And listen, I've had my problems with Will Muschamp. I'm not a huge fan of his. I think he could still be a very good coach. I wasn't a fan of him at Florida. I was trying to stay consistent because, and I told my in-laws this, who are big Florida Gator fans, I'm not going to be the guy that criticizes you guys for having that coach, and then he comes to my school, and all of a sudden he's a genius. I mean, all the time that Will Muschamp was at Florida, I said, I don't think he's a very good coach. And then he comes to my school, and all of a sudden I'm like, no, he's a genius. I'm not going to do that. If I don't think he was a good coach at Florida, I don't think he's going to be a good coach here. He could prove me wrong. But nevertheless, I mean, it seems the way. And I know when we talked about this with LSU, this wasn't just it's not just an SEC thing. Oregon has got swank facilities. All of these schools now are building real state-of-the-art football complexes. And a lot of it is for ease. A lot of it is, let's not have them go all over the place for all the things that they need. Let's all have them come in here. This is where everything should be. They should eat here. They should relax here. If they need a massage, if they need to lift weights, if they need therapy or whatever, you know, whether it's acupuncture or whatever it is they want to do, you know, all of it should be in this building. And I get that. And I get that. But my God, when a coach admits that this is one of the reasons why we're going to be winning again, or we're going to be winning at all, that's just a message now to all of these programs that can't really afford this to find a way to afford this, if that's really what's going on. Look, I mean, and I get it. Look, if you're losing recruits, and the college football game is about recruiting. I mean, success comes from recruiting. You know, look, one of the things that's great about Alabama is they've been winning games, and then they also win signing day. And that's a big deal. I mean, I make fun of signing day as much as the next guy. I think it's silly. I think it's a little over the top half the time with all these rankings and ratings and people losing their minds and picking on kids on Twitter because they chose school A when they should have chose school B. I think it's all kind of nonsense. But there is a correlation between recruiting well and also coaching. Recruiting well, coaching well, and winning. And I think Dabo does it great. I think Nick Saban is a standard bearer when it comes to that. I think there have been guys who have recruited well that can't coach. Ron Zook is one of them. He's one heck of a recruiter, but he's not really a good football coach. And there are other guys who coach, but they're not really good on the recruiting trail. And the two need to go hand in hand if you're going to have a successful program. You've got to be able to get the talent in. Now, if the talent that's coming in is looking at other places and saying, you know what, I'm sorry, nap pods are cool, then you got to get some nap pods. I kind of get it. But it's just a very bizarre statement, because it really goes against, you know, when coaches talk about, well, we got to work harder, we got to train better, we got to have these guys all on the same page. Now it's, we've got a facility, so now this, we've turned the corner from our losing ways. Good, the bad, the dumb, coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Wednesday. All right, let's get the good.
Bringing us over the hump day.
Yes.
The good of the day, Ocean City Boardwalk, which is in New Jersey.
Yes.
They have trained falcons to scare away those pesky seagulls.
About time.
Yes.
It's about time.
You know what? You know what the only redeeming quality of a seagull is? When you first show up to any ocean-type setting and you can just hear that squawk.
That's true.
Then you know it's like, hey, I'm at the ocean.
Is it an urban legend that you feed them Alka-Seltzer, they explode?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Because if so, I would have thought, you know, that's one way to get rid of them.
I think I would have seen viral videos on that.
So they have employees, Ocean City Beach employees, who are just cruising up and down the boardwalk. They have a falcon in their arm, and they've just trained them that they don't really fly off. They just kind of start flapping their wings, scaring the seagulls away. I think they might actually just do a quick little loop around and come right back. I don't know if the falcons know that they're scaring seagulls, but
they're just flying.
The presence of a falcon being there is scaring seagulls away.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. I had a bad run-in with a seagull once.
Did you really?
I really did.
Is that scary?
No. I mean, I guess now looking back on it, it's very comical.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking they jabbed you with the beak.
No. I didn't get the Fabio treatment.
Oh, okay.
No, there was this place we used to go to in Monterey, California, Fisherman's Wharf, and you would go and you'd buy like a little tray of fish so you could feed the sea lions right there that are just hanging on the water.
Oh, nice.
I loved it as a kid. You know, just grab a fish, throw it in the water. Sea lions are, you know, just yelling at you to throw more fish. I remember I got a brand new tray of fish. I had to be 8, 9 years old, I think. I got a brand new tray of fish. I was so excited. Going to start feeding the sea lions there in the water. A seagull came down, grabbed my entire tray, and took off. But not before leaving a present in my hand.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, at that time, I think I was upset. My mom was chuckling. She thought that was funny.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Because, I mean, if that happened to my kid, I'd be laughing too.
We were on the beach in New Jersey a couple of years ago, Labor Day weekend, and my wife had, I don't know what she had, but she was feeding, there was some birds on the beach, and she started giving them bread, and I said, don't do that.
No.
And sure enough, there was 5 million birds hovering over.
They just come out of nowhere.
It was incredible. I think it was like 3, and she was just tossing them some bread, and I said, oh God, don't do that.
That's why, I mean, just that scenario alone, I always thought the movie Finding Nemo accurately portrayed seagulls.
I agree.
I know it's a cartoon.
They did some research.
They did some research, and they came to figure out that all seagulls say are mine.
That's right.
Mine.
That's right.
Mine.
It's pretty wild. This is actually a cool idea. The falcon's going to scare. That's awesome.
Non-invasive.
Yes.
You know, tell the seagull you don't have to leave the ocean. You just can't stay here. Boardwalk is closed.
This is the equivalent of having a gentle giant as a friend and then walking around with them, and the people who don't like you go, I'll stay away.
Or just be polite.
Yeah. Your friend doesn't really know why he's there, but you're just like, I get it. Yeah, look at this. I brought 6'10", 325-pound buddy here.
Yeah, I'm walking around with Shaq.
Right, and your buddy's like, oh, this is cool. You seem like your friends are nice. That's what the falcon is doing. The falcon is just flying around, right?
Just doing his thing.
And the seagulls are like, whoa, okay, we get it. We're out of here. Bye. And the falcon's like, I don't know what the problem is. I'm supposed to fly around and come back.
I'm not here to eat you.
No,
I got steak.
They're going to give me steak
in a few minutes.
Yeah, that's well done.
I'm just stretching my wings.
Well done. That's a job, too. That's great. That's a gig. That's a gig for somebody riding around with a falcon. That's fantastic.
How much of a hardo do you feel? You're just cruising down the boardwalk. You got that big leather glove, and you're just sitting there with a falcon on your arm.
What is that? What is the name of somebody who does that? It's a falcon, not a falconeer. That's dumb. They're the people who have they do the falcon thing. All right, what is the bad? They do the falcon thing.
I know what you're talking about.
I have nothing else to say. There is a word for it.
There is a word for it.
Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. spare me the agony of Googling this. What's the bad?
The bad of the day. The bad is one of those that just makes me angry. And it is dumb as well.
Okay.
But the bad, I'm sure you caught this somewhere on the Twitterverse. Max Kellerman.
Yes, I saw this.
Saying outlandish things just for clicks. Because I know for a fact he cannot believe. Basically, actually, I'll let him tell you.
If you had to put him on any team, since he can't be like all NBA best team, what team would he be on?
He would be on the all NBA worst team, actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Look, you're kidding.
The point is this.
He
averaged.
Goodbye. Kobe Bryant's on the worst team. Goodbye.
He averaged 22 points a game, and people who know no better will point to that.
I really find it hard to believe that Max Kellerman fully believes that Kobe Bryant would be on an NBA all worst team.
I am
this is solely just for clicks, right?
I am so sick of this. I am so sick of these people. And I have a lot of respect for these guys in our industry, in our own industry, who feel it necessary to just lay out a layer of BS just because somewhere along the line it gets a reaction. I am so tired of this. It's because you want to be known as somebody who has strong opinions that make sense, right? That you can make a legit argument for, right? That you can say, look, I think the Cowboys should trade Ezekiel Elliott. And somebody goes, that's crazy. And he said, but here's four reasons why that makes sense. And you lay it out and somebody goes, well, you know what? I agree with like two of them, maybe three of them. I still don't think they should, but I see your point. Like that would be me like going instead of trading Ezekiel Elliott should be banned from the NFL because he can't run the football at all.
Exactly. That's
like he literally can't run. He walks. And then people go, you're crazy. Yeah, that's the point. I'm crazy. I'm crazy like a fox. Look, you're clicking on my stuff. Like that's insane. I'm tired of this. And now that it makes me wonder if she walked off that stage as a bit.
They all sat in a room and said, you say this,
and then you get mad and you walk off the set and all of America will go nuts. And
ratings are dipping a little bit. Yeah. We need a quick pick me up.
Exactly.
And I mean, and it didn't fail.
No, of course
people
not.
People responded all over the place, just absolutely hating all over Max Kellerman. And, you know, people were saying, the only problem with this video is that Stephen A. wasn't there to yell at him.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's it.
Now, if he does really believe this, then what an idiot.
Then
that's
back
dumb.
It up.
At least back it up, right?
He's coming back with like, he scored 22 or averaged 22 points per game. And I'm like, no.
He had Achilles issue and he wasn't quite the same player, but nevertheless, it's not the all worst team.
No, but he made the All-Star every single season even if he's just talking about this decade, 2010, because that's what obviously it stems from is when NBA.com came out with their all decade team, and he was in third, or was on the third team. You know, even if you just take his body of work from 2010 to 2016, he wasn't the Kobe of the 2000s, obviously, but he's definitely. I don't know. It just
what Max Kellerman
it just
is saying
bucks me so much that these guys just do this
with Max. What Max Kellerman is trying to have you believe, and I'm going to state it as plainly as I can. Given that there are five guys on a team, and given that there are about three all of team, like all NBA or all defense, he's about three of them. What he's trying to convince you is that in a 10-year period from 2010 to the end of 2019 here, that Kobe Bryant was one of 15 of the worst players in the league over that 10-year period.
Right.
That's what he's trying to get you to believe. That of all the busts that occurred in the NBA, all the guys who were drafted that didn't make it, that got cut, bounced around the league, and eventually had to leave because they stunk or they gained weight or they weren't the player people thought they were, that on that list of those players, Kobe Bryant deserved to be on that list.
Yep.
Now, that's utterly insane, and that's why I think it was just a stunt, a silly, dumb stunt to get people like us yapping about them. Without any integrity or pride, he made that statement.
And that's the issue, is that he's losing, for me, I mean, he loses credibility.
Absolutely.
Skip Bayless does the same thing, and he's losing credibility as a sports guy.
Because I don't know when you're serious, and I don't know when you're pulling this stunt just to get people talking.
Yep.
Right? And again, I've said this before. One of my early lessons in doing this when I was young and I wanted to do this was I got told over and over again by a number of different guys, don't lie. Don't lie. You won't be able to keep up with your lies. And you'd be surprised how many people remember what you say who listen consistently.
Especially now that we have social media where people pull out things from 3 years ago. It's like,
right.
You didn't believe this then.
Exactly.
Why do you say it now?
So don't, like, you know, one of my advice was like, all right, so if you grew up and you didn't like, let's say you didn't like a certain college team, don't say you like them as a kid. Like, oh, I was a big fan of USC when I was a kid growing up in New Hampshire. And then 2 years later go, I've always hated USC. They're a terrible football team. People will say, oh no, 2 years ago you said you grew up and loved that team. So don't lie. But now it's, I'll just say wherever I want just for clicks, and I'll take my credibility and everything that made me what I am in this industry. I will throw it all away for that because I don't have anything else. I can't do anything else that's worthy of people's respect. So I have to do this. I have to go convince America that Kobe Bryant was one of the 15 worst players in the NBA over a 10-year period. That's ridiculous and dumb. Speaking of dumb, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I'm not sure how you feel about reboots. Sometimes they do work.
Sometimes they're good.
Sometimes they're good. Sometimes I feel that is completely unnecessary.
I agree.
And this might be one of them. Disney CEO Bob Iger came out and said, yes, they are planning to do a Disney reboot of Home Alone.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
I believe that it's strictly for their streaming service, Disney Plus. I don't think it's one of those that's going to be released to video or released in the theater.
That's fine, but don't sell me this as like, oh, yeah, the Christmas movie of the year is back.
I can almost say, okay, if it's on Disney Plus and you're doing it for your streaming service, maybe not so dumb. Maybe that gets kids wanting to watch it because kids love kids' movies. But if you're going the other route and saying, no, we're just going to completely redo the Home Alone story or just, you know, cast new characters and do the same thing, just different special. No, leave it as is. It's a timeless classic. Now.
It's a classic. It's great. What part of what makes the movie great is that it's one of those movies when you watch it, you feel like this was perfectly cast.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Dead, perfectly cast. Like, Macaulay Culkin is the only one that could have played Kevin.
Ever.
Joe Pesci and, what was his name, Daniel Stern?
Daniel Stern.
Yeah, the only two guys that could have played the burglar villains.
Wet bandits.
Yeah, those. It's just, you don't see anybody else
could
in those
roles.
Had
you don't see O'Hara doing it. As the mom.
Yep, exactly.
John Hurt as the dad.
Exactly.
The uncle is the only guy who could have played, I don't even remember what the uncle's name was.
Yeah.
But look what you did, you little jerk.
Perfectly cast movie.
All the way through.
Don't mess
Buzz!
With it.
Can't cast another
That's
Buzz.
That's right. You can't cast another Buzz. That's exactly right. So, no, Disney. You want to do this for your own, again, your fans that sign up for your service, great, fine. But don't put it out in theaters. Expect me to pay $10 to go see this
movie. How much would this, if this was released in theaters, how badly would this movie bomb?
I think it would bomb. I agree. Ron, I couldn't agree more with that. I think you're 100% right. I think if they put this out in the theaters, I think people would say, nope, not a chance.
No,
the old one is a classic. I am not going to give you my money for this nonsense. I agree completely.
You know, I mean, I would love to see a Godfather with today's technology, but I don't want you guys to make it ever.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it would be kind of fun. I mean, I don't know how much more graphic you can get, but I don't need it in my life, and I don't want it in my life.
All right. So that is the good, the bad, and that's kind of really dumb. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Ron, it is August 7th, but we still have the Ocho on today.
Yeah, day early. I talked about it yesterday. It's a gripe I have.
Yeah.
You know, NFL getting in the way. I'm assuming NFL is getting in the way.
So, what do we have on the Ocho right now?
Right now, I have it's called chess boxing.
Okay. What is what are they doing?
Your question is, that's a valid one, Tony.
So if I go queen to rook five, do they fight?
No, it looks like they play like a round of chess, like maybe 3 minutes of chess.
Oh, boy.
Or maybe they have a certain number of hands that they do, and then they box for 3 minutes. and then they go back to playing chess again.
That's great.
And then they go back to boxing. And then they go back. You see the pattern. See, I want them to skip the early rounds, get to like to the 12th round when they've really pummeled each other.
So
trying to figure out what's that piece.
So ding, ding, ding. The announcer's like, and then a right to the body, right to the head, and then a left, and then a quick jab. He's got him trapped in the ding, ding, ding.
And then they go to the corner.
Bishop to the centerpiece. And,
I mean, they go to the corner. The trainers or whatever take off their gloves. And their gloves, their hands are all taped up like most boxers have.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick.
And then they sit there and, you know, play a round of chess.
And then they go back to
then
chess.
Then they go back and then they go back to the corner, get their gloves tied back on, and start beating each other.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
How is that a sport?
That's like bowling and then fishing. It's great.
Bowling and fish.
That's, you know, awesome.
That does make
bowl
sense.
Bowl a few frames and then fish.